Welcome, everybody, to the Wellness in Dentistry podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley.
And I am Dr. Martin Mendelson.
And we're so excited to be here. This is our first podcast together. Both of us have been on many, many podcasts before as guests, but now as hosts, we are excited. And Martin, why did we create this podcast?
Well, it's kind of funny. As you said, we've been on a lot of podcasts and we talk all the time, and we're just saying to ourselves, we could just get on here and just kind of riff and talk about these topics because we do similar things, yet our areas of expertise support one another. And so we thought, why don't we serve the greater good of our profession? Get on here, start talking, start sharing our thoughts with the community, because if we can even help one person, then that's a good day in the office. So.
Yeah, it's like, when you and I get invited to speak on a podcast, it's a dental podcast usually, and this is just like mental health and mental wellness becomes one episode of an entire multiple years of podcast. You and I may be the only mental health advocate on these podcasts, and we said, why don't we just make a podcast about wellness and dentistry altogether, right?
Absolutely. And I talked about this idea of dental dualism, because both of us have been entrenched in clinical education for years in one form or another. I used to give lectures on color science and shade selection and lab communication. And you talk about implants and all this wonderful stuff. But at the end of the day, how many people are really talking about the mind-body connection and how important it is? And you opened up my eye to the data, the research on the challenges that we have as clinicians and the rates of mental illness and the challenges of mental health. So we've talked about the idea that we need to start breaking the doors down and start talking about this stuff, because it's important, because what goes on between here, your ears, affects what happens in your hands. End of
That's
story.
right. No, exactly right. And how Martin and I think about wellness in dentistry is really threefold. Okay, so you have the wellness of the patient. This is clinical dentistry, right? This is doing the best treatment, doing holistic treatment, using the latest technologies, what most people focus on in dentistry. But then you also have the wellness of the practice. Now, this is the business aspect. We run businesses. We have to have healthy businesses that support ourselves and our team. And then lastly, I think what Martin and I are most passionate about is wellness of the practitioner. And this is the part that nobody talks about. Really, nobody talks about this is we're just kind of expected to be okay all the time. We're expected to be these dental robots. So those are the three P's that we're going to talk about. And you guys will hear us discuss these three P's all the time. But from the beginning, we'd like to tell you our stories. Why are we so passionate about this topic? And I'll start. For me, it was February of 2018. I came home maybe around 7:30. It was late because it was February, so it was dark. And it was literally a dark and stormy night. And I remember that because in California, we don't have very many dark and stormy nights. And I remember the smell of the asphalt. And I got out of my car. I went to my, we have a little courtyard. So I walked through the courtyard and went to the front door, tried to open the door, and it was locked. My wife had the deadbolt on. And she opened the door. She was holding my son at the time, who was about 1 year old, and said, "Welcome home." And my response was, "I can't do this anymore." Now, thinking back, I should have thought about what I was telling my wife, because her immediate response was, "What do you mean? Marriage, kids, living together? What are you talking about?" And I said, "Oh, no. Dentistry. I can't do dentistry anymore." You see, on the outside, for me, everything looked great. I was a fairly good clinical dentist. I had amazing mentors. I had a, fee for service, a high-end private practice in Beverly Hills with two great partners. I was traveling around the world, speaking on some of the top podiums. I was publishing. I was driving nice cars. I was making good money. But on the inside, I was miserable. I was going through a lot of difficulty. I had patient complications, patients that wanted their money back, patients that were threatening to sue me. I had team challenges. We had kind of a revolving door of dental assistants. We had a dental assistant that was threatening to sue us, going through litigation. And then personally, I think I felt like I had nothing left to give to my family when I got home. What I wanted to happen was I wanted to have more time with my family. I wanted to have less stress. I wanted to have better health. I hadn't exercised in over 2 years at this point. I wanted to be less reactive with everybody, team, patients, family, and I didn't want to think about dentistry at home. And finally, I had to say, enough is enough. I had to make my mental, my physical, my relational health a priority. I had to make a change. You see, in dentistry, we give, 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 give. We give to our patients, we give to our team, we give to our family. And we never take the time to put ourselves first. I fly a lot, as does Martin, for our speaking careers. And they always say when the plane is going down, put your own oxygen mask on first, right? You would think, oh, I want to help my kids. I want to help my spouse, if your parents are there, your neighbors. But no, we can't help other people unless we help ourselves. And so I went deep into the research because I am a research nerd. You guys are going to realize this about me. I love research, clinical research. So I went deep into the research. And you think that a lot of this stuff on mental resilience or mental wellness is kind of like this fluffy woo-woo stuff. There is so much proven research backed by science. And so I started studying positive psychology, psychology of overachievers, personal success habits, evolutionary biology. I sat under some of the biggest researchers and names in the industry, and I went on this breakthrough journey. And I remember kind of finding my purpose in life and increasing my health and working on my vulnerability with patients. And I remember I took a day off. And I know that may sound crazy to a lot of us, right? You take a day off of work, and we're going to talk about taking days off. But I went to the post office. And you ever go outside in the middle of the day and you're like, what the hell are all these people doing? Don't you guys work? Because for us dentists, we're stuck inside many times a windowless room from, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. So I went to the post office, I went next door, and I got an acai bowl. So I did my residency in Brazil, so I like Brazilian food, an acai bowl. And I'm eating this acai bowl. The warm California sun is coming down on my face. This was a few months later, so we're kind of like in spring or summer. And I remember thinking, I'm finally getting better. And I had made my health a priority. I had found my purpose in life. I had changed how I was communicating. And this allowed me to then start helping others with this topic. And I created my signature course called Lightside Academy. And I've now been able to help, hundreds of doctors from around the world. And it's really been the most rewarding thing that I've done in dentistry.
That's fantastic. I've heard this story many times in private and public, and I love hearing it each and every time because it is a journey. It takes a lot of courage to overcome the shoulds that we say to ourselves and the societal expectations and so forth. And so we'll talk about how you and I got together in a moment. And so I'd like to kind of share my journey, which is very different than Kyle's, but yet ended us up in a very similar place. So I started in dentistry at 16 years of age. My cousin called one day out of the blue. He was at Harvard in medical school, and they were conjoined with the dental students. And he just called and said, "Hey, did you ever think about dentistry?" And so the answer was no. And that was the last thing on my list. And so I went to school the next day, and I was talking to my high school advisor, and my friend Amy overheard me. And literally, she said, and I quote, "I'm really sorry for overhearing. My uncle's a dentist. He wants me to suck spit all summer, and I don't want to do that. So you want to help me out, and I'll help you out." I said, "Okay." And so I went there, got an interview, landed the job immediately, and Wendy was the office manager, wonderful lady, and she said, you know, if after the first week you feel this is going to work for you, you let me know and we'll give you a raise. I don't know if I've ever told you this part.
No, I didn't know that.
Because the whole discussion, the negotiation as a 16-year-old was, are you going to pay me more than I was making at McDonald's the year before? No joke. And so I was so embraced with open arms, and I just fell into the love of the practice of dentistry and was so accepted as a member of their team immediately that I did that as a 16-year-old kid. 4 days later, I asked for a raise. But I was there for what, 6, 7 years
Wow.
through high school, college, and even early dental school. And it made me realize the love of not just clinical dentistry, but dental practice and everything that goes into dental practice. So from 16, that was my idea. Like I was that weird kid, like, you know, Herbie and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Hermie, I think was his name.
Hermie,
I want
yeah.
to be a dentist. That was me. So I go to dental school. I'm in practice in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And all of a sudden, my hand starts to bother me. And I retell this story in my keynotes all the time, but there was this one morning, after my first round of hand surgeries, because what ended up happening was they misdiagnosed me and they said it was carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel in my elbow. And so they operated. And when I came to, they were like, oh, we really didn't see much. And so I stayed out of work the commensurate 2 weeks. I went back, and all of a sudden, the pain was worse than it ever was before. I felt like I had this ice pick right here that stayed there for years. And it started this journey that began with a phone call to the practice where I said, I can't come in today, and I don't know if I'm ever coming back. And I didn't. And that was 2003. I was out of work for 17 months.
Wow.
2003, there was no internet like there is today. 2003, there was no smartphone. I had to figure myself out the old-fashioned way. I had to actually pick up the phone and call people. And it was a real talk about a journey, because I would hear every day, I'm too experienced for some stuff, too inexperienced for others, too old for some stuff, too young for others. And it was awful. It was really awful.
How many years had you been practicing at this point?
What was that? 8 and a half, 9? I
Wow.
usually say about 10, so
Yeah.
somewhere in there. And you know, having identified as a dentist, right? And so that day, on that Saturday in June of 2003, when I got up from my first round of hand surgeries, I came down to the breakfast table, and my spouse made me breakfast, and I looked like the right-sided version of the mummy because I had carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel surgery. So I was bandaged from fingertip all the way up to mid bicep.
Wow.
And there was this moment where I tried to open up the sweet and low packet to sweeten my coffee because I'm a sweet and low guy. And I think everybody on here has had the opportunity to open up one of those at some point in their lives. And I just couldn't do it. And you know, my book's coming out later this year, and the way this is described in the book is that the sweet and low packet was mocking me. And I kind of threw it across the table, and you know, my husband gets up and comes around the table because he's witnessing this just dissolving of a human being in front of him, and said, listen, I believe in you. We'll get through this. We're a team. And my first thought was, you're nuts. Like, how are we supposed to do this? Like, you have a really, really good job. You're a software engineer, but this was my identity, which is a whole nother
Since
topic
you were
we can get
16,
into.
yeah.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, kind of the panic parted. And I had this singular thought, which is, you know what? I am going to be okay. I don't know how, I don't know where, but I'm going to make this work. And that's the start of the 17 months. And so every day during that 17 months, there was a song out at that time by Heather Small. She covered it. And one of the verses is, what have you done today to make yourself feel proud? And in that awful, awful dark time, I just kept saying to myself, what's the one thing I'm going to do today to make myself feel proud? And then the phone rang, and it was my friend Sharon, who was one of my professors in dental school. And a dental laboratory was looking for a dentist to be the liaison between the dentist and the lab. So off we moved on a wing and a prayer to Tampa, Florida, from Baltimore, Maryland. And I was the liaison between the dentist and the lab. And what an amazing experience that was, because it was what I now understand to be my first foray into communication. And so believe it or not, I counted. I made 16,000 outbound phone calls in my
Wow.
short couple years, getting yelled at every day for,
The margin isn't right, the occlusion's too high, the color's off, yada, yada. I
It
know
was
because that's what I do now for Paramount Dental Studio.
that's right.
Yeah, I am the clinical director and that I am the liaison. Yeah.
So that after just shy of 2 years, I got fired because a big lab bought that lab. So here we
Okay.
go again. And then off I
Jobless.
went.
You're jobless again.
Yeah, again. Like, what is happening, right? And so then I was lecturing on color science and shade selection at that point. And it was kind of gaining notoriety. And Vita called me, the shade guide people. And so they hired me, and I worked for them for upwards of 5 years as their director of education and leading the key opinion leader initiatives, which was a great education, traveled all over the world. It was amazing. And then 13 years ago, I came to Spear, 13 years ago this year. And so
Wow.
I'm still a part of the resident faculty at Spear, but I'm no longer a full-time employee. And that's been a wonderful experience too. I've done all kinds of different things at Spear, grown a lot professionally and personally, and been able to impact tens of thousands of people through the things that I do. And part of my journey, which kind of landed us meeting, was realizing I needed to be better. And so in 2015, I decided I had to stop drinking. And I started down a road, a very different educational path than most dentists. I now hold certifications in executive coaching, team facilitation, emotional intelligence, and happiness studies. And so what I do today, if you were to meet me in an airport, and ask me what I do for a living, my answer now is I help people get out of their way, both from the stage and one-on-one. That's my answer. And this message of optimism and this concept of dental dualism, like we talked about in the beginning, is really gaining traction. I'm giving keynotes in front of corporations that have almost billions in revenues yearly that want to hear little old me talk about the science of optimism and how that can drive strategic initiatives. And so when I work with dentists, either one-on-one or with their teams, the biggest lesson that I've learned in my own journey and the thing that I believe in with my soul is that we're all just humans. And what affects humans affects everyone. And we just happen to be humans that fix teeth. And so, it's irrelevant that we do that. What's relevant is understanding what goes on between our ears impacts what comes out of our mouth, that also impacts how effective we are with our hands.
Wow, I have heard that story many times. And every time I can't imagine because I've said this to you before and in our live courses that we give, but you didn't have the choice, right? It was taken away from you. For me, I had the choice to continue practicing and whatnot. So I can't imagine what you went through. Being forced to change, right? My experience was more like I had the opportunity to change, right? Or I had to change, but it wasn't forced upon me.
Well, what I would say to you though is, I have a really good friend who's just an amazing human being. His name is Sean Swarner, and he's the only human being that's ever climbed Mount Everest with one functioning lung. And I
Crazy.
said to him, I know he's an amazing ESPN actually did a documentary on him.
Wow.
And I said to him one time that he's such an inspiration to me. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't ever do that." He said, "Don't compare." He said, "We all have our own Everest to climb." And I thought about this before because you and I have had all of this conversation before. And for me, it's almost harder to do it of your own volition than it is if you're forced, because if you're forced, you don't have a choice. So both are hard. They're just different, right? So it's an academic exercise, of course,
Yeah,
but
no,
it's
that's
an
really
interesting thing to
interesting.
think about.
What's interesting about both of our stories is, and this is the sense that we get from, everybody that takes our courses and brings us into their practices for consulting and whatnot, is that we've been chewed up and spit out by dentistry. And I think that this is what nobody talks about. Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist, how freaking hard it is to work on patients every single day, 3 inches away from them, working in a very sensitive part, and what we do is expensive, it's time consuming, it's uncomfortable for people. And what most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting that it's kind of in some ways how and why we met in a way. Because as I recall, it was middle of 2020, and our mutual friend, Dr. Todd Shire, a fantastic periodontist, wanted to do a Facebook Live broadcast on just surviving COVID, mental health issues. And he, if as I recall the text, he was like, "Do you know Kyle? I think you two should meet." And that was the end of that after one Facebook live session. And it was interesting when I think back now, the more we talked and talked about what it is we do and where we're coming from, and to use a phrase, the tools that we deploy, we very quickly realized that, the coaching training that I've had and the facilitation training that I've had and the exercises for the humans so supports all of your frameworks and your teaching. And so it's as I recollect, that's kind of how what we now call Lightside Live was born, because it was a way to kind of breathe further life into both sides of the coin.
That's right. And why do you think now is the time that we need to be talking about this?
I'm going to rephrase and say, I think now's the time that dentistry is willing to talk about it because of the experience of the pandemic. It's always been there. I know one of the studies you always quote is from that you frequently quote is from 2015, talking about how dentists have 2.5 times the incidence of the general population of anxiety disorder, panic disorder, and depression. That's 2015. That was 5 full years before the pandemic. I wonder what it is today. And so I think another example of this, having been not only in dental education, but on the corporate side of post-grad CE dental education, you and I both have corporate supporters now for the mental health and/or mindset optimism stuff that they never would have looked at us
That's right.
for these topics before the pandemic, because, and this is no disrespect or a judgmental statement, we weren't selling their products. So why would they support us? Well, what everyone I think realizes now is that that dental dualism exists, and we need to support the whole being of the individual called the dentist and not just how to place an implant or a specific composite.
That's right. It's been really nice to see, because you and I started talking about this before it was really popular and accepted. It's really nice to see that you have companies that will say, I don't care if you talk about my implants. We just want to make sure that our doctors are doing okay. Now, on the backside, they know that if their doctors are doing okay, they're going to buy more product, they're making more money, their practices are doing better, and ultimately those, companies do better. But I think you're right. It really took 2020 happening for people to realize, like, this has to be a priority. Because I had talked about this before, like I said, I started talking about this in 2018, and people were very receptive to it. The dentists, because they were going through it, like you said, we're 17 times more likely to commit suicide than a non-dentist, twice as likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, and panic disorder. So the research is there, and this has been going on for decades. I mean, like, since my dad was a dentist in the 70s, people have been talking about this. But I think people got so bad during that time in 2020 that they said, gosh, I really need to make this a priority. Like, I can't continue anymore.
Something that just happened really recently. I was in California at one of my clients, and this gentleman happens to be my age, and we're just talking about our own journeys in dentistry. And he went to a dental school that, not to be named, just because you'll see why in a second. But he had a professor get up in front of the entire class and tell them never seek out therapy or mental health services because it will, quote, ruin your practice. And I looked at him and I said, "Wait, are you serious?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's literally what he said, verbatim." He said, "Oh, I'll never forget it." He said, "That's what he said." And I thought, "Holy smokes, how far have we come from that?" And he's my age. And I mean, not a lot surprises me anymore, but that really did. The gall of that individual to think it's okay to tell other people if your brain is sick, which just is just like a heart or a kidney.
Yeah, or periodontal disease
Yeah,
or,
exactly. Yeah,
caries,
good point. Good point. Don't get help. Like that, it's mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing.
It's been really rewarding to see that, like, dentistry is ready for this.
Yeah,
They're ready.
absolutely.
You know, it's now is the time. And this is why we felt the need to start this podcast was, okay, the time is now. Dentistry is ready. People are ready to listen. People are ready to focus on things other than just, getting a better margin on your crown or getting no bone loss on your implant or having the perfect smile design or the perfect rubber dam. People are finally thinking about work-life balance and about, mental wellness and about personal health and personal growth. So now is really the time.
Absolutely. I learned from you some of the statistics about only 10% of dentists take any time off,
That's right.
which
That's
just
according to the ADA.
blows my mind because it is such a physically taxing and mentally taxing profession. Who are we to think that we can be effective without taking time off? Like, let's just call it what it is, the unbridled arrogance. And I'm not blaming, it's just it life
I was
happens.
one of these people, so yeah, I've been there.
And I mean, look, in dentistry, whether you're an associate or an owner, there are ways to forecast your production as an average over a year. You can figure out what you want to produce. You can figure out how many days you need to produce that in, and then figure out the time you're going to take off, figure out the time you're going to engage in CE. And it saddens me when I hear clients say, "I can't take time off," when truthfully the coach in me wants to clap back and challenge them. Well, it makes sense that you feel that way because that's the way you've lived your life to this date. But who made up that rule?
Yeah. Well, today's been great,
Yes,
Martin. I think
absolutely.
a very fun first podcast for us. And
Yes.
there's many more things to come. We're going to be talking about separating your purpose from your profession. We're going to talk about daily habits. We're going to talk about the science of happiness. We're going to go into building your business. We're going to talk about so many different aspects. Again, all coming back to those three P's, which is the wellness of the patient, the wellness of the practice, and the wellness of the practitioner.
Absolutely.
So, Martin, thanks for joining me today as my perfect co-host for the Wellness in Dentistry podcast. And if
Absolutely.
you guys are interested in mastering your mental and relational health, you can click on the links below and you can go to lightsidedentistry.com and you can watch my free masterclass and it'll give you the three biggest mistakes that most dentists make in their career and how to overcome them. And Martin, for you?
Yeah, so my links are below as well. And so most of my time is spent either on a stage as a keynoter or in dental practices working with teams to help facilitate greater levels of communication and cohesion. So all my links are there, including an opportunity to sign up on the list to be notified when my first book is ready for pre-order, due out late 2024, early 2025. I can't even believe those words are coming out of my mouth. So.
Very, very excited. I've already signed up for it,
Yes,
actually.
you were number one,
That's
actually.
right. Well, great. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.